morning, church. Good morning, church. Isn't it a blessing to be in the house of God? Amen, amen. Good to see all of your lovely faces and those who are watching online. We just want to say a special thank you to coming to the Evanston Vineyard. And my name is Charles Jones, and I'm bringing today's message. And as we get started, just want to prompt you with a question. Have you ever had to follow an example to do something? Raise your hand if you've ever had to follow an example to do something. Like maybe you had to bake a cake, so you followed a recipe. Because you know that baking is not just something you wing. You don't, one half of flour is not the same as a fourth. Or maybe you had to visit a new place with a new culture and have to follow the people to know the customs. Or if you're a student living on campus, day one looks like following the herd of people to classes. And for sure, you definitely needed to follow instructions to build furniture from IKEA, AKA the grown-up Legos. Think about it. Or maybe you received a new job or a volunteer opportunity and you had to shadow as an imitate someone to know everything about the job and how to do it effectively. See, following examples gives us frames of how to be. Examples help you bake cakes. They help you learn about new cultures. And following examples gives you direction. But what if you needed to know how to live the best life? Who would you follow? Who would you follow, church? Yeah. I guess I don't need to preach the message because that's kind of that was the whole thing. So we'd want to follow the one who made life. That's God. And we see the perfect example followed and perfected through his son, Jesus Christ. And today we're being encouraged to walk as imitators of Christ. Before we start, just so you know that we are in a book series of studying the book of Ephesians, and I wanted to give us some context to ensure that we're all on the same page, pun intended. The letter to the church of Ephesus was written about 20 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. And Paul, an apostle of Christ, was under house arrest in Rome due to a false accusation of starting a riot. And if you want to read even more of that, you can take a look at Acts chapter 24 to get even more of that context. And even though Paul stood 10 toes down for the gospel, he was still arrested and wrote this book. And this book has a particular design, where the first three chapters are dedicated to understanding the free gift of salvation through Christ's sacrifice and resurrection, and how that allows both Jewish and Gentile Christians to be a part of God's family. That type of writing had deep levels of being descriptive, meaning it was explaining the events of one being in Christ. The last three chapters 4-6, focus on the new life a person has after accepting salvation. It illuminates the practical day-to-day habits of how to lead a holy life. You would notice that every verse in the text is prescriptive, meaning that you're going to hear direct commands that the people of Ephesus were expected to follow and why, and also something that we can relate to as a church in today's time. The first half of Ephesians is like signing up for a job and expressing the importance of the job. The second half is like explaining what the job entails, as in how to be successful at it and what boundaries exist. It's important to remember what commitment we are making when we accept Christ and what that means. Now, let's take a deeper dive into one of these chapters. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Or if you received the program, you can read along on the program. Or if you memorized it, you can quote it with me. Some people memorize scripture. And you'll also see the verses on the screen as well. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, and it reads like this. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of life consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, and do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Now let's pray. Lord, thank you for the marvelous blessing of this day, and thank you for the beautiful gift of your word. Lord God, we pray that you open up our understanding and to have your word just present for us, Lord God. We pray that it is almost spoon-fed and palatable for us, Lord. We pray that it's nourishing for our minds, hearts, and bodies. And we just lean on you for all of your wisdom concerning it. Lord, thank you that we can follow Christ as an example. We pray all these things in your holy divine name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So in the Greek, the word Christianos means followers of Christ, but it also means little Christs. So if you call yourself a Christian, it means you imitate the character of Christ. And let's start with how to imitate Christ by walking as his children. Our passage today references the previous chapter, chapter 4, where Paul says in verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So these verses are going to paint for us the entire picture of what we're going to see and what we're going to hear now. Follow God's example as dearly loved children. Being called children refers to the newness of life we have with the adoption in the family of God. And this is a callback to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, where the Gentiles are now fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Now they and we have God as our Father. And practically speaking, we know that children imitate their parents. And since we have God as our Father, we are in God's family. And so if God is our Father, This means our manner of living should reflect His. Our actions should reflect His. The way in which we love people on this earth should reflect the way He does. In Matthew 12, verses 48 to 50, there was a moment in Scripture where some people were calling for Jesus. His parents were calling for Him. And Jesus responded, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And then He points to the disciples and He says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." What is happening here? Jesus is calling the disciples part of His family. Why? His disciples were literal followers of Christ. They not only saw what He did and heard His words, but ultimately wanted to walk in the same way Jesus did. They wanted to do the will of the Father, and they saw Jesus as the example. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And at Evanston Vineyard, the prayer we pray every single Sunday is called the Lord's Prayer. And this is what Jesus showed them. At this church, we are followers of Christ, little Christ. So we lean on Him to know how to pray. And if you are a part of the family of God, then you are encouraged to do the will of God. And I was like, the question is, what else does doing the will of God look like? It looks like forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Living this new holy life requires a reference of how to live. So let's talk about forgiveness. We remember how Christ forgave us. Amen? And as the Apostle Paul tells us elsewhere, Christ died for the forgiveness of sins. That supreme act of love reminds us of the love that we can show other people. When we imagine how much we've been forgiven, it can translate to how much we can forgive. For it is His love that covers a multitude of sins. And acting like Christ lets people know we are part of His family. Now, in your walk, what does that practically look like? Because it's true that every day we can't necessarily do things to the weight of literally dying for someone like how Christ did. But there are other ways to sacrifice. And we're going to explore more of that in our second point. But the text continues in verse 2 as it refers to Jesus saying that He gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The fragrant offering and sacrifice reminds His readers that Jesus is the living sacrifice that purifies us for all time. They understand that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrificial system, and thus they understand Paul's language. And back to the verse, to walk in the way of love pleases God. To walk in the way of love pleases God. Like, He smiles wildly when we're walking in the way of love. And this kind of reminds me of the work that I do at my school. So if you don't know, I am a school librarian. So that means I work with 3 to 5-year-olds. And I love that we laugh because I think we understand the gravity of that. The patience needed. The tangents that always happen. Oh my goodness. It's so lovely. And I have this lesson where we read this book called Everyone Gets a Turn. And I love this book so much. It's about these animals who find this single egg, and obviously they all want to take it home. And that's not possible because it's one egg. So I read this book to my students, and then afterwards, I have this rainbow-colored cloud pillow. Rainbow-colored cloud pillow. And I hold it up, and I tell them, "Who wants this pillow?" And they all say, "Me, me, me, I want the pillow." And then in the most like matter-of-fact teacher voice I could muster up, I say, "Well, there's only one pillow, and there's 15 of you. So what do we have to do, church? You gotta share." And it sounds just like that. They say share, like in a beautiful chorus. And the learning doesn't stop there because, sure, they know that they have to share, they can recite this answer, but 1 John 3:18 encourages us not to love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So afterwards, I give them time to play in this play area that I created for them. And oh my goodness, the imaginative play is the sweetest thing in the world. They're making all these stories up. It's incredible. But I'm focused on the toys, like how there are only four giant red trucks, and there's more than four of them who want to play with this truck. So sometimes they will share and change their games accordingly, but other times they need a reminder of what we said to do. It is deeply pleasing to me when I see a student who knows not just what to do, but also does it. And God responds in the same way. The way we walk in love is pleasing to Him. In the next verses, we will continue with imitating Christ by dying to darkness. In verses 3-5, Paul begins to list off several attitudes and behaviors that are not conducive to a holy life. He says, "But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Now, at first glance, this kind of comes off as a punitive don't do this list, but let's remember what our text implies. The church of Ephesus is to be holy, so these things need to be eradicated. It's not that we abstain from these things and they make you holy. No. Paul cleared that up when he said we are saved by what? Grace, not by works. And he's cleared that up in chapter 2. So we do these things not because we earn the favor of God. We do them because by doing these actions, we show that we belong to the Father and are stunningly grateful for what He has done for us. Children are like their fathers. Let's understand the truth of this walk. Christ calls us to follow His example in verses 1 and 2. And again, the term Christianos means followers of Christ. It means little Christs. Therefore, every word and deed points to who? Jesus. So because Christ in His actions obeyed God in every way, we also do the same. Apostle Paul says that among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, like to get away from it. That, you know, there was a point in time where I had to delete social media off my phone because it was leading me to sin. I had to get away from it. It wasn't worth trying to compromise the work, the redemptive work that Christ did inside my life. And maybe for you, that might look like having boundaries on your devices. Or maybe that looks like finally joining a group for a change. Or maybe it looks like pausing connections with someone who isn't acting like a friend. Or not responding to someone who is trying to hurt you. Now, Christ lived His life as a perfect light and still spent time with tax collectors and sinners. But even as we live this life as exemplars of Christ, that might not be something that we want to do. But let's unpack that. Verse 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, do not be partners with those who are disobedient." Paul doesn't encourage us to live lives completely separate from those who are living lifestyles that aren't in the light, but not to associate with those activities. What is the danger of that? Well, you are to be imitators of Christ. A peculiar people, set apart. What happens when we claim our connection to Christ, but we consistently associate with the things of darkness. Well, one, we end up mocking the saving work of Christ, and people might assume the redemptive work of Christ was not as powerful as they thought. Even though accepting Christ for oneself is an individual choice, we still live lives as exemplars of Christ. And people will be led to Christ for a myriad of reasons. And some people are led to Christ because they see the transformative work in one's life. There was once a moment where I was with some older friends who were aware that I was a Christian, and it was a Friday night, so we decided to go out to clubs and party. Now, we weren't simply out drinking, but doing it incredibly recklessly, making obscene jokes, using indecent language. It's like I forgot I was a light. Then I remember the following day where I posted something relating to scripture. And one of my friends said, "Why would you post that? Weren't you just doing the same things with us last night?" That cut deep, didn't it? One could say, well, did Jesus break bread with tax collectors and sinners? Yes, but he was fully God and fully man, and he still chose not to sin. That's where our encouragement comes from, church. Even as we accept Christ, we are still in the flesh, and we can fall into sin. That's why Paul is giving this encouragement. There's an invitation that as we live life, we walk with diligence. And the text encourages us as it says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." If being with a certain person or group of people encourages you to sin, then we should refrain from doing so. In every way, we need to die to darkness if we are in the family of God. And as we do so, it allows us to be in positions to expose it. Our next few verses show what that looks like. Verse 11 to 13 states that, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." He said, expose them. And remember, Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus. He's not talking about exposing darkness about people who aren't following Christ. I want to repeat that again. Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus. He is not talking about exposing darkness for people who are not followers of Christ. So, by a show of hands, do you know what a diss track is? I hope they're not in your Spotify shuffle. I don't personally listen to them myself, but they're a type of song that publicly illuminates all the negative actions of a person, a diss track. So there are some artists like Drake, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem, who wrote songs to illuminate all the negative actions of other people. But it's not for that person's edification. It's not to build them up. It's to humiliate them. Because otherwise, why would you put it in a public song and not just have a conversation? In Matthew 23, Jesus is warning his disciples not to fall prey to hypocrisy. And then he turns to the Pharisees and says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness." And throughout the text, Jesus calls them blind guides, whitewashed tombs, rough, snakes, and a brood of vipers. On the surface, one might think, is Jesus dissing the Pharisees? But no, he's exposing their darkness because they claim that they are holy, but their actions don't follow holiness. He's exposing their darkness. And this is for their edification, not to humiliate them. And he's exposing their darkness because Jesus also loves the Pharisees. And look, our actions are sometimes like that. I mean, sometimes I read scripture and I think, whoa, that's me, I'm the Pharisee. So take a moment to think about this, and you don't have to raise your hands, but have you ever behaved in a way that was not like Christ and someone had to correct you? Have you ever behaved in a way that was not like Christ and someone had to correct you? There was once a moment in a group setting where someone was sharing some emotional turmoil they were dealing with. And with the best intentions in mind, I tried to give advice to that person. And after I shared those words, a day or so later, another friend of mine pulled me aside to have a chat about what I shared. And he provided a metaphor as to why my words were not helpful at the moment, harmful even. But he didn't berate me. He wasn't doing it to bring me down. He wasn't trying to humiliate me. He was walking as a light of Christ. Everything that he shared was all for my edification. And just like a little Christ, my friend loved me and the person I spoke to. So, the friend who corrected me and the individual met together. And this gave me a chance to apologize, and they were able to forgive me. I was also able to make a commitment to use my words wiser in the future. It wasn't that the words that I said weren't correct, but it wasn't the right location, wasn't the right space. They were not in a place to receive those words. Rather, it was wise at that moment to listen to them and share how their experience made them feel. You know, it's the open ear that becomes the proverbial hug that people really need at times. And the Holy Spirit corrects us and reminds us of how to walk in Christ. Whom he loves, he corrects. I want you to tell your neighbor, whom he loves, he corrects. Amen. Yeah, I must really love being corrected with all them giggles. All right. In our main text, Apostle Paul is encouraging us to expose darkness. He continues to add in verse 13, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Loving with the light of Christ causes things to become light. In the last few verses, Paul writes for the church of Ephesus to encourage others. In verse 18 to 20, he tells them to not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are filled with anything, whether it be peace, anger, love, malice, joy, jealousy, it will impact you and the people around you. Like, have you ever seen someone smile and that makes you smile? Have you ever seen someone laugh and it just kind of fills you with laughter? Being filled impacts you and the people around you. Paul is drawing a deep contrast here between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. Let's talk about both. What is the effect of being drunk? In this case, Paul says it leads to debauchery, a type of fulfillment that only benefits one's flesh. It's a type of excess that does not benefit anyone else. Remember, Paul's not just talking to a single person, but to a church, a community of people, the church of Ephesus. Being drunk won't just affect you, but in the worst case, it harms the people around you. Instead, he presents a different alternative, being filled with the Spirit. And what is the effect of being filled with the Spirit? That same Spirit that loved you first and wants the best for everyone. That same Spirit that seeks to comfort you in turmoil. That same Spirit that is both gentle and mighty in power. That same Spirit that wants you to walk in holiness. There's a change that happens in you. Paul says to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And this is for the edification of saints. Think about Sunday morning worship. Every time we sing together, we are doing just that. And honestly, I think it's best for us to walk in that way now. I want to invite our worship pastor, Tim, to come up and lead us in a song. And remember, these verses are prescriptive in this part of Ephesians. So they're direct commands and encouragement, not simply for the church of Ephesus then, but to us to follow now. If you're able, can I invite you to stand? If you're able, I'd like for you to just open out your hands as a posture of receiving as we go into worship. And I'm going to encourage you to have Christ on your mind.